Well, good morning, everyone. I want you to turn your Bibles to Colossians 3. For those of you that, well, I guess this is the first time you've been to a Thanksgiving service at South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church. Usually what we do as a part of our tradition is I say something from the Bible. It's shorter than a regular sermon. It's more of a devotional type. And then we have time for members and individuals who are here, not just members, but individuals that are here that want to thank God for something, to give a testimony for something that the Lord has done. And so that's what's going to happen. This is going to be much shorter, very different perhaps than what you're used to from me as far as biblical exposition is concerned. And then we're going to have opportunity for all of you, not all of you, we'll be here a long time. Although that would be great, but any of you to share a testimony of something that the Lord has done. So I wanted to just draw our attention to Colossians 3, really to set the stage, not necessarily an exposition of Colossians 3, but I wanted to show you something. This is at the end of a lot of what Paul has said so far in the book of Colossians, and he's really talking about what happens when the heart is regenerated and giving instruction towards that end. And he's talked about all of those things. In the beginning of chapter 3, he talks about if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. He's really trying to draw our hearts and our minds and our attention to Christ. He's explaining what it is that God has done for us. And you can see there in verse 12, he talks about us as God's chosen ones who are holy and beloved. He's telling us to put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And so, similar to what he does in the book of Ephesians, he's drawing our minds and our hearts and our attention to all of the wonderful, amazing things that God has done for us. And he's really exhorting us to act in a way that is consistent with an understanding of those things. And what I wanted to read is I wanted you to see in verse 15, I think I'll start in verse 12. I'm going to read all the way down through verse 17. And this is really kind of the culmination of him describing all of the blessings that we have in Christ. He says, put on then, in verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's a word that keeps repeating, a theme that you can see in those really last four verses, 15 through 17, last three verses rather, and that is thankfulness. Thankfulness. Thankfulness should be the fabric of every Christian. And that's really what he's getting at. And I don't think the right mentality and the right attitude is to think to yourself, oh, I'm not thankful enough, so I need to try harder to be thankful because then I can be a good and mature and strong Christian. I think if you approach it that way, you're kind of getting it backwards. But one of the things that we at least have to address is that, especially as Americans, we have a tendency to complain a lot, don't we? We do complain a lot. It just seems natural to complain. I mean, growing up, we would have Thanksgiving dinner, as every good red-blooded American would, and we would sit around the table, and sometimes, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't really grow up around a lot of Christians. I mean, perhaps Christian by name only. And every once in a while, we'd say, oh, why don't we just talk about what we're thankful for? Everyone kind of go around the table and say something that you're thankful for. And it was always awkward. Because we felt like, okay, I guess I'm thankful for this. And then I found out later, especially as a teenager, it was awkward for me. Because frankly, I really wasn't thankful for anything. I was woefully self-absorbed, like every other sinner, red-blooded sinner. It always felt weird. I felt a little bit like, you know, like a big brother being ordered by their parent to say something nice to your sister. You know, because thankfulness really, it's not a part of our fabric as unbelievers. But the one thing that was certainly a part of the fabric in many family gatherings growing up was complaint. And it was just natural. And, you know, my family didn't really fight a lot or anything like that. And I'm not talking about immediate family. I'm talking extended family. But everyone had an opinion on something. And everyone had an idea of how things should be better and how things should go better. And sometimes they'd cross paths, and so you'd have a lighthearted but intense conversation about that. And that just seemed natural. And I think the same is true for us believers. I mean, when I read that text about abounding in thankfulness and giving thanks to God, I have to sometimes look at my own heart and say, wow, am I as thankful as I should be? And it's important to pay attention to this as Christians, because a persistent lack of thankfulness is a sign of an unregenerate or, at best, a spiritually weak or immature heart. If we just can never seem to find any reason to be thankful, if our regular routine is complaining, it's bitterness, if it's grumpiness, if we're always being agitated, or if we're constantly critical, and just frankly, never happy about anything at all, if that really is the pattern, we have to recognize that there could be something wrong with our souls. And the sooner that we realize this, the sooner we can be on track to seeing it healed. And in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, Paul says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught. And then he adds this, abounding in thanksgiving. And that's the pattern. And rather than be complainers, Christians, we're called to be abounding in thanksgiving. And that word abound, it has the idea of a bucket that is so filled up with water right to the brim that whenever it moves, the water just kind of spills out. And that really should be our hearts as Christians. It's to be continuously overflowing with thankfulness. But that's not quite where many of us are at. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is crazy. If you think about it, this is crazy. Commands us to be thankful in all circumstances. Really? All circumstances? I mean, what that command is it's the end of three rapid-fire commands that call for constant joy, constant prayer, and constant thankfulness in all circumstances. And then it's followed up with this kicker. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Say, what's God's will for your life? God's will for your life is to be abounding in thankfulness in all circumstances. God's will for your life is to be rejoicing always. And now that hardly seems possible. Are we supposed to just grin and bear it? I don't think superficiality is what the apostle is talking about here. Now, it doesn't mean that if we have a tendency to complain, we should feel like terrible Christians and be overburdened by this. But I do believe that thankfulness and an attitude and a heart of thankfulness in all circumstances is something that we ought to think about protecting. You see, there are all kinds of things in this world that try to rob us of our joy and put us on a path of discontentment. And we have to pay attention to that and guard our hearts against it. That is, learn to be content. And so I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you, a couple of thoughts with you, rather than give you a list of reasons for you to be thankful, and certainly Scripture provides plenty of those. The whole book of Ephesians is essentially a list of spiritual blessings that we have. I just wanted to share with you a couple of thoughts I had. I believe that the key to thankfulness in all circumstances is really two things. Number one, it's learning to love and be thankful for the giver before we rush into thankfulness for the gifts. Learning to love and be thankful for the giver, for God himself. And this really is a pattern that you see, especially in Psalms, particularly Psalms 111 through Psalm 118. So often, David extols God, and he talks about God's faithfulness. One of my favorites is when David says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." And sometimes when we have a hard time finding things to be thankful for, we have to remind ourselves of who our God is and celebrate him for who he is, being thankful for his intrinsic goodness, being thankful for his power, for the fact that he can be trusted, for his mercy, for his patience, for his kindness, for his grace, things that we know are true about God, whether our circumstances seem to support it or not. I mentioned this before, Andrew Peterson in his song, Always Good, talks about how God is always good. It's a beautiful song. There's a line in it where he says, "Somehow this sorrow is shaping my heart as it should, but you are always good." Always good. So learning to love and be thankful for the giver. The second thing that I believe will help us to think about is learning to value the gifts God has promised and given us in Christ more than earthly blessings. Learning to value the things that God has promised to give us, the things that God has already given us in Christ, more than what we would say earthly blessings. And really what I mean is Christ himself, right? Our redemption, forgiveness of sins, adoption as sons, union with Christ, reconciliation, our future hope of glory. In Colossians 3 at the beginning, it says, that is where our life is. And so what Paul says really before he talks about thankfulness at the end of Colossians 3, he says, set your mind on things where? Above. Why? Because that's where Christ is. There's nothing for us here, ultimately. Now, does this mean that we should never be thankful for any circumstantial change or any of the blessings that God has given us? Heavens no, right? We should celebrate the many things that we enjoy. And so don't hear me saying that somehow you're unspiritual if you're thanking God for somebody who helped you change your tire, okay? That's not unspiritual. You should be thankful for that. We ought to love God for those things that remind us of his care for us. But our life, we have to remember, is in heaven where Christ is. And ultimately, what we ought to love about the gifts God gives is what they tell us about the giver. It's the one whom we will spend eternity praising God. And I'll tell you guys something. I'm amazed at what God has given me. And I'm really talking about earthly things as well as spiritual things. I'm amazed at the blessings that I have. I am blessed to be your pastor. I am blessed with a wonderful and beautiful wife who tolerates me and loves me. I am blessed by so many people here in so many different ways. And I praise God for them. But I pray that I will never be more amazed by what he has given me here on earth than I am by God himself. I don't want my opinion of God to be shaped by my perception of the things that he gives me here on earth. Because if I do that, I will not be content. I'll lose it. And I really believe that this is key, and that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who is in control, a God that can be trusted, a God who is not harried or hurried, a God who is not wringing his hands in heaven. We have a God who has promised us that he will never leave us or forsake us. We have a God that we can be thankful to in every circumstance. Listen, I don't believe God would command us to be thankful in every circumstance if he didn't give us a reason to be thankful in every circumstance. Amen? And so perhaps the real key there is to think about when our world seems to be falling apart, when we don't seem to be getting the things that we feel we deserve, when we don't seem to be tracking and something's missing and our brains are muddled and all those different things that happen to so many of us sometimes. Maybe what we need to do is we need to do like what David did in the psalm is try to think of a reason. Because we have them, Christian. We have them. We have a God who is worthy of our honor and praise. Amen? So while expressing gratitude for the many blessings that he gives us, I pray that God would direct our hearts towards himself. I'm so looking forward to the testimonies. Because I'll tell you something. If somebody stands up and says, I praise God because I had a flat tire, and somebody was able to pull in there and change it, I praise God. If somebody says that, I'm going to be praising God with you. Right? Because what that's going to remind me of is that God has a care and a love for his children. He will take care of them. Now, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I had a flat tire. And I sat on that road for 4 hours. And I couldn't get a hold of anybody. So how come God loves that person more than he loves me? That's not the way it works. God has a plan and a purpose for your circumstances. And it may not have been the time for God to remind you of his care for you in that moment, but let's be honest, there are plenty of times for that as well. So let's celebrate together the good things that God has done. And may it remind us of his faithfulness. And may we together as a body be able to look at others. And if you're struggling this morning to think of a reason to be thankful to God, be thankful for the blessings he gives you. Be thankful, Christian, that he would rescue you from sin, from death, and from the condemnation you deserve through faith in the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, died so that you could be forgiven for your sins. And that's what he offers. And he was raised from the dead. He has won victory over death. And suddenly, a flat tire on the side of the road doesn't seem so bad. Whether God gives you the help you need or not in the moment. Death is over. We have such great hope in Christ. I'll read it again. Colossians 3:15 through 17, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your kindness and for your grace towards us. God, thank you for the many blessings we have. And I pray, Father, that if we feel like we don't have any reason to be thankful, I pray that you would fill us with reasons, that your Spirit would communicate to us and open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds to think of not just the spiritual things and reasons we have to be thankful, but even the evidences of your care and your faithfulness to us that we can see in our lives. And thank you, God, for the way that you shepherd us and the way that you love us. Jesus' name, amen.